Good morning. The Local Administration, Federal Affairs, and Special District Subcommittee will come to order. Tamara, please call the roll.
Chairperson Malika?
Here.
Representatives Amnesty?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Bartleman? Barrero?
Here.
Daly? Dunkley? Dunkley? Gottlieb, excuse. Griffith?
Yes, ma'am.
Hawkins?
Here.
Holcomb?
Here.
Shock? McLean?
Here.
Plakin, excused. Temple?
Here.
Tuck, excused. Woodson? Yarkowski?
Here.
Ex officio Campbell?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, members. By your presence, we have a quorum just in time. Please make sure cell phones and other communication devices, including laptops, are turned off and placed in the silent mode. Members, today we have 9 bills up for consideration. I know it's a Friday morning, so we'll get rolling and we will move through these. And for those in the public, I appreciate you being here today and I look forward to your public comment, and we'll take those as each bill comes up. We will start with taking up PCS for HB 439 by Representative McLean relating to land use and development regulations. Representative McLean, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, Chairperson Malika, Ranking Member Daly, and Vice Chair Tuck's not here, but anyway, welcome and members of the committee. Members, PCS for HB 439 revises the FLUDRA process. It will allow a negotiated settlement to include the types of relief a special magistrate may recommend. Allows the special magistrate's recommendations or negotiated settlements that might be inconsistent with the local comp plan to be deemed consistent. Makes a number of changes to statutes relating to comprehensive planning. It revises data sources that are used in consideration of comp plans and amendments. Increases the length of the required planning periods from 10 years to 20 years. Removes a list of indicators a local government must consider relating to urban sprawl. Revises the comprehensive plan evaluation and appraisal process and prohibits local governments from initiating or adopting policy-initiated plan amendments if the local government fails to adhere to the statutory review process. Requires local governments to evaluate and update their comprehensive plans to reflect changes in local conditions. Requires land development regulations to establish minimum lot sizes and to provide standards for infill. Prohibits local governments from requiring building design elements for single family and duplex homes and planned unit developments. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative McLean. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions? Representative Bartleman, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. And I'm sorry I didn't get to you sooner. I apologize. So my question is, what is the benefit of eliminating level of service? I was a school board member, I was a city commissioner. It's really important that communities have the necessary infrastructure before development occurs. So can you explain that change, please?
You're recognized. Okay,
thank you. So in my experience, and I always hate to go back and say I was local government for 12 years, but I was, so I do have some experience. I think what we're trying to accomplish here is that there are projects where level of service can't be used because the development you could have water and sewer available, but you may not have a level of service that maybe would allow for the development. However, the land use that you're asking for, or whatever it might be, would fit there, and so it doesn't preclude. I don't think it precludes any conversations about what might need to be done to help with the level of service. It just says that can't be the final determination in making the determination.
Representative, you're recognized for a follow-up.
So thank you, and you have more city service than me. So, but I guess my issue is if it can't be the determining factor, if I really do have a sewer issue, I as a local elected official then have no way to ensure that my constituents get what they need before this happens. So it kind of precludes me from doing anything to help my constituents. So I understand what you're saying, but if there's no teeth in it, how does that help me? And we're talking about like roads and concurrency and water and sewers.
Representative, is there a question?
Yeah, that was it. How does it help me as a, how would you, if you were in that situation as the local elected official, how would you deal with that when you have no teeth to make it happen?
Thank you. You're recognized.
Thank you. Well, I would normally approve of development anyway, but that's my personal opinion. So, no, I think what we're trying to get to is just saying, look, the challenge that we have, most counties don't develop roads far enough ahead to be able to meet concurrency levels a lot of times on the levels of service. And so I think what we're trying to get to is that can't be the reason for doing it. We can set levels of service, which we do, and I've done a lot myself, but I think at the end of the day, we're always behind. When I first got on the county commission in 2004, we had $1 billion worth of road projects that we needed to do. Just 2 months ago, the county commission said they have $1 billion in road projects that they need to do, local projects. So it never, you know, some of that never changes. So I think it's more of that can't be the final determining factor to say, well, you didn't have the level of service, so the project can't move forward. Water and sewer are a whole other conversation.
Representative Campbell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And good morning, Representative McClain. For our audience and our viewers at home, could you explain what urban sprawl is?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So how many viewers are there at home, do you think? 2 million?
I hope a lot.
I just want to know what my audience is.
I hope a lot.
Do you have a follow-up question, Representative?
Thank you. Thank you for that question, Representative. I'm sorry. It's a little early in the morning. I thought we should have a little levity here. So, So coming from Marion County, which we still have a lot of land left that we could develop, there's a tendency for counties to, in my experience, for counties to continue to think that certain size lots are the standard for development. I have always been a proponent of saying wherever we have water, sewer, roads, levels of service, the proper, all those things, where we have all that, we should be putting more density into those areas. Quarter acre lots, in my opinion, in Marion County have become a standard for sprawl because we're just eating up more and more and more land as we move forward, and that creates sprawl. When you put density where it's supposed to go, that decreases the level of sprawl that you have.
Representative Campbell, you're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so with that explanation of what urban sprawl is, why are we changing the definition in your bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So I'm trying to think about this in reverse when we talk about sprawl because of what I kind of just laid out. We're wanting to ensure that either counties or municipalities probably not as much, but certainly counties, when they think about development patterns, we have to get out of this mindset that quarter acre lots are the standard for which is going to keep us from having urban sprawl. I think I can attest in my own county, it has exacerbated that situation. My county commission right now certainly have started to change the mindset and they're doing some smaller lot size and those kinds of things. But so again, we're trying to get them to think in reverse. And instead of thinking about urban sprawl as being moving out, we're trying to say, think about keeping it in, change your density levels, do those things, and that will stop urban sprawl.
Representative Campbell, you're recognized for one more follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This was my last follow-up. So with that, will there be any questions about compliance regarding this comprehensive plan in discouraging urban sprawl now that you have taken away specific statutory indicators within this bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not in my opinion.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Chair Mike. Rep. McLean, you're not chair today, right? It's okay.
Supposedly once a chair, always a chair.
No.
Allegedly.
For clarification purposes, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you elaborate on the reason for separating the required element submission as opposed to the optional ones?
You're recognized.
I think what we're trying to ensure is that the basic elements of the plan are kept up to date. And again, having some experience in this, we had times when we were required to make sure that our basic elements were kept up to date, which once we did that, then sometimes we would have to go back and fix some of the elements that were not required, but that were things that we would want to add into our plan. So it would just separate the two, make sure that the actual basic parts of the required elements of the plan are kept up to date, and then the others could be brought in at some other time. Most planning agents do it all at the same time. I do know that we would go back periodically and fix some of the things that weren't required in the comp plan. We would go back and fix those at various times during the process.
Representative, you're recognized for a follow-up.
Just real quick. Yeah. Would you see any benefit in submitting both at the same time for comparison purposes?
You're recognized.
I would think, yeah, I mean, I think that's the desired way to do it, is submit it all at once. I guess what I was trying to say was, by separating them, the basic elements of the comp plan, the ones that actually are the requirements to allow for development, those are the ones that we want to make sure are kept up to date. The others are things that we like to have, right? And so those could follow, but certainly we would hope that most of them are doing all their planning at the same time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Dunkley, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Representative. I have one question for you. On line 585, where we talk about the time frame to complete the comp plan, 12 months, and also on 567, that projects are given 1 year from the date the letter was transmitted to the State and Land Development Agency, it may not initiate or adopt any public initiated plan. So I wanted to ask, and I'm asking for my commission at home, would there be penalized for any delays due to any unforeseen circumstances during that process?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I think to answer the first question what we're trying to accomplish is, if the comp plan is not up to date, then there could be no government initiated plans. There could still be private, but not public. To your next question, I think I didn't contemplate that necessarily, I guess. I'm sorry. I didn't contemplate it.
Representative, you're recognized for a follow-up.
So, Rep, if you didn't contemplate, are you going to be probably looking at something that may help us to get that clarified for our local?
You're recognized.
I think at this point in the bill, the penalty is they can't do any comp plan amendments of their own. That would be the penalty. I'm not contemplating, I'm not contemplating creating some other penalties. Certainly, I'm willing to have a conversation.
Members, any additional questions? Any additional questions? Representative Hawkins, you're recognized for a question.
Good Good morning, Representative. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we both served at a time when we had Department of Community Affairs, and then it was done away with to allow counties to have a little more freedom. With that said, doesn't it all just really depend on the market's going to determine on the type of developments that occur? Would you not agree?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Of course I agree with you, Representative Hawkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions? Representative Campbell, you are recognized for one follow-up additional question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for clarity purposes, in regards to what this bill is addressing, how often are we seeing these problems arise within these local communities?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did not personally get this information. I did ask a question of someone who I felt like would probably have the answer to it. Currently, about half of the municipalities do not have updated comprehensive plans. And so that's, you know, part of the challenge. Well, I was going to do my close now, but I'll wait and do it in a few minutes.
Seeing no additional questions, we do have public testimony on this item. Looks like we have seven members who would like to either testify or waive in either support or opposition, and I'll call you up one by one and let you know who is up next to get ready. First, we have Edward Briggs representing Highland Homes and representing Homes by West Bay. And then up next, we have Mark Jeffries from Orange County.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you much for allowing me to speak today. I want to say this. Thank you, Chair McClain, for sponsoring what we consider a very good bill. I'll just say this. Florida, as you all know, is probably the fastest growing state that we see in the union. About 1,600 people are moving here a day, and it is imperative that our local governments plan for that growth, which is a great thing to have. What this bill is seeking to do is make local governments look at the fact that you need to be updating your comprehensive plans and staying timely and accommodate for that growth to occur. From the first adoption period of the EIRs from DEO, the first round, just to let you all know, was January 1st, 2012 through January 2018, and the second round was January 2019 to 2025. This is when they have to look at their comprehensive plans from the appraisal aspect of population growth and submit their estimates on what needs to happen. During that first round, 67 counties were due to respond. Only 43 determined amendments were needed. In the second round of that, 30 counties responded and 17 determined amendments were needed. What that tells us is that we're looking at several municipalities and counties operating probably on outdated comprehensive plans. I can speak for you for Hillsborough County, let alone. Hillsborough County is operating on a 2025 comp plan. It is 2023. And as a result of that, the urban service line has not been increased, and they're out of land to build. So thank you. I know you've worked with a lot of stakeholders on the bill, and I know you're continuing to work on this, so appreciate it. But I just wanted to give some context and clarity. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Up next, Mark Jeffries. Representing Orange County, Mr. Jeffries, you're recognized.
Good morning, Chair, and thank you very much. I'm Mark Jeffries with Orange County, and I just wanted to come up and say the box that I checked says in opposition. You don't have one that says we're working on it. So thank the Chair McClain here for working with us. I've been working with Representative Hawkins. I've been in your office, Representative Amnesty. So thank you very much. We have concerns, but we're working on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I have some I have four waves and oppositions. Haley Bush, 1,000 Friends of Florida, waves and opposition. Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties, waves and opposition. Charles Chapman, Florida League of Cities, waives in opposition. And Jess McCarty, Miami-Dade County, waives in opposition. Is there any additional public testimony? Seeing none, we will turn to debate. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Bartleman, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with different elements of this bill, especially in for people to update their comp plans and do what they need to do. I have one sticking point. The speaker said that 1,600 people move to Florida a day. He's building homes. He's building communities. If the infrastructure is not there, if the sewer, I get your point with big roads, if the right turn lane, if the schools are not there, they build their community, they make their money, walk away with their millions of dollars, and the people left holding the bag are the legislature, the county commission, the city council, and more importantly, Floridians are left holding the bag because they move into a community without appropriate roads, without room in schools, without sewers. So the level of, and they're going to have to pay for that because you can't leave it. So I, as a resident of Florida, are subsidizing his development so he can make millions of dollars and walk away and go to another state. So the sticking point that I have for me, and I'm going to be down today, but the problem is you're amazing at this, and you've been doing this a long time, and I know you're going to work with everybody.
With that, I close.
is eliminating the level of service for denial. And maybe you can, the idea I had when you were talking about it, even you conceded that a sewer or water problem would be a huge issue. So maybe you narrow, like, for the big things, but make sure that communities get what they need. So I appreciate you working with everybody. Everyone loves you and has great things to say and anticipate a great bill at the end. Thank you very much.
Ranking Member Daley, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first and foremost, my mother doesn't even watch the Florida Channel, so I don't think we have a very big audience at home, but we're working on that either way. First and foremost, Representative, thank you very much for the bill and for the time that you spent, not just with me, but with all the stakeholders. For those that don't know, I'm not a morning person at all, but sat down with the representative this morning, first thing, to go over some of my concerns. And look, I can see a lot of them, I can see both sides of the argument, right? Having served in local government, but also having worked for a development company and practiced land use law, I understand kind of what you're trying to do, and I do think it's a good idea, right? I think it's highly problematic when you have a comp plan that's supposed to be, you know, 10 years out, looking out into the future, and you have counties and probably cities in the state who are a year, 2 years away from the end of that comp plan. So I certainly understand what you're trying to do. I know you and I have talked at length about my concern over some of the language relating to levels of service. Even as it goes to the data, you know, original versus updated, I can see both sides of that, right? I understand it may be more expensive for that developer 2 or 3 years into a project, but if that new data comes to light, there's got to be some way to address it. So, and I know you're committed to doing that, Representative, so thank you for that. Even something like Rep. Dunkley mentioned with the issue with any kind of delay, if there's a delay that's not caused by the municipality, I just hope that we're not going to penalize the municipality or county. So if it's a DEO issue or something like that, maybe there's some way to work through it. And then, you know, my personal sticking point is with the design standards, but your willingness to work on that as well, I really appreciate. So I'm going to be up today in hopes, and then I know it'll be the case, but you'll continue to work with the stakeholders and get a finished product that we can all support. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Campbell, you're recognized in debate. Welcome again to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you for indulging me this morning. To Representative Daley, my mom is watching the Florida Channel right now. She says, hi, Dan. Just text me. So, hi, Mom. And to the last sticky point, last thing is that, I'm not too familiar about this area. This is not my field of expertise, but there are a lot of concerns regarding this bill that I have. One of them is how are the impact affecting the local community? I personally feel that in order for us to have a good bill that addresses the issues that we're talking about in this bill, we need to have a full understanding and Rep. McClain, I know you're in the process of working on that. As just as me being the ex officio today, I just can't vote up on it at this point in time. But I am so thankful that you are working and talking to all parties involved to address the issues that are being brought up. So I thank you for that. But unfortunately, I can't be up today. Thank you.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized for a very quick debate.
Very quick minute. Just a quick minute. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Rep. McClain, thank you so much for your work on this bill. You have done a lot of work. You have worked with all the parties. And I echo the sentiment of my colleague, but I also have an issue of preemption whenever it comes to local government. Local government needs to have the ability to make decisions that best serve the people. And I have received a lot of emails regarding this bill as well. But my constituents feel like we are preempting local government from doing what they're doing. I would like for you to continue to work with us. You know, if I see certain things that address those issues that I brought up to you, I would vote up on it next time, but today I won't be able to vote up on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further debate, Representative McClain, you are recognized to close on this very good bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Rep. Campbell, did you check with your mom to see how you were supposed to vote this morning? Or, she might have a different opinion. Thank you all for indulging me this morning. Madam Chair, just as a point of order, well, never mind, I'm sorry. Yo, it's PCS. So members, we had an original bill that we were working on. We made a lot of changes to it, trying to work with the stakeholders. Obviously, some of them come up this morning and have, you know, raised some issues. Obviously, I think this has been out maybe for a couple of days, so not a lot of folks had a lot of time to, you know, look at it. Anytime we do a bill like this, it certainly takes a lot of work to get it in the right posture. I am a local government guy. I do like to try to make sure that home rule is protected somewhat. I said, but there are times when I think we have to maybe lay out some ground rules and just gives them a little bit of an ability to move forward. One of the other things, time is money. And any time, whether we think that developers are good or bad or whatever, a lot of times time is money. Lot sizes equal money. Most of the time the consumer ends up paying for all of that stuff. The longer a project has to go through the process, it costs more money. The developer has borrowed money, he's making interest payments, he's, you know, paying engineers and consultants and everything else to get his project to market. And the longer, you know, so what one of the goals is to try to get this, to try to get the process moving, to be able to move forward more quickly. And because time is money. And we all know that we have a housing shortage, we have a housing affordability challenge, and we're trying, and I think by trying to do some of these changes that will help us to be able to bring houses to market more quickly. We're not going to stop folks moving to Florida, obviously. They continue to come, and so we need to be prepared for them. Certainly, we need to look at levels of service, water and sewer, all of those things. I think we've been trying to address them as a legislature over the past, certainly since the time I've been here. And I will continue to work with the stakeholders. I have an open-door policy when it relates to bills that I'm running. I appreciate all of y'all's comments today. I appreciate your questions, and I would ask for your favorable support.
Representative McClain, having closed, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
No.
Barrera?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
No.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb, excused. Griffiths?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
McClain?
Yes.
Plakin, excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck, excused. Woodson?
No.
Next up.
Rakowski?
Yes.
Chairpersons Malika?
Yes.
13 yeas, 3 nays.
By your vote, PCS for HB 439 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Now we will take up HB 41 by Representative Garcia relating to land development initiative and referendum processes. Representative Garcia, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, Chairperson Malika, Vice Chair Tuck, Ranking Member Daly, and members. Thank you for hearing my bill this morning. Presently, statute prohibits referenda on development orders and comprehensive plan amendments. House Bill 41 seeks to close a loophole by clarifying the legislative intent of the Community Planning Act by prohibiting initiatives or referenda from being held on land development regulations. This bill will ensure that important decision-making process related to land planning and development regulations always stay within the purview of our municipal and county elected officials. This is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions? Seeing none, I believe there is an amendment on the bill. Representative Garcia, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 424083.
That is a technical amendment, and it's a strike all, and it does the same thing.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any public comment on the amendment? There is no public comment on the amendment. We'll move into debate. Members, we are now in debate on the amendment. Representative Bartleman, you're recognized in debate on the amendment.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that she took my phone call at 7 a.m. when I had a question about amendment, and she was up and bright-eyed. And so thank you for always being available, and I support this good amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Any further debate on the amendment? Further debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Garcia, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
I waive close, Madam Chair.
Having waived close, members without objection show the amendment is adopted. Now we are back on the bill as amended. Is there any public comment on the bill as amendment? We do have public testimony. Up first, we have David Collins, Sierra Club of Florida.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave Cullen, Sierra Club, Florida. I want to start by thanking the sponsor for at least a brief conversation this morning. We had some communication difficulty last evening. We do have to oppose the bill because we believe that it takes agency away from the folks in the community by prohibiting referenda or initiatives to address the rules that are going to apply in their community. And actually, I have a question about the bill that perhaps you can address in your close. It's remedial. It goes all the way back and has retroactive application all the way back to 2011. And I'm wondering if that's going to affect anything that has already been put into place, zoning changes or whatever that may have taken place as a result of that. That would be good to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Collin. Up next, Linda Holt, representing the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower... That is the wrong... You signed up for House Bill 41, but I know what bill you want to speak on. Haley Bush, 1,000 Friends of Florida, waves in opposition. Ashton Mears, Florida Home Builders Association, waves in support. And Ashton Mears for the Florida Home Builders, that's the same, waves in support. Is there any additional public testimony? Seeing none, members, we are now in debate on the bill as amended. We are in debate on the main bill. Is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Garcia, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I will address the gentleman that spoke before me from the Sierra Club. I have his number, so I'll call him. I waive close. Thank you.
Representative Garcia, having waived close, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb, excuse. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
McLean? Lakin, excuse. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck, excuse. Woodson?
Yes.
Darkowski?
Yes.
Chairperson Malika.
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, HB 41 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Now we will take up House Bill 553 by Representative Saltzman relating to state recognition of Indian tribes and bands. Representative Saltzman, welcome, and you are recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I was like, hey, that's me. HB 553, State Recognition of Indian Tribes, is a bill that rights a wrong from the 1800s. Federal law recognizes Indian tribes as distinct independent political communities retaining their original natural rights. Indian tribes recognized by the federal government have a government-to-government relationship with the United States. Historically, tribes secured federal recognitions by treaties, acts of Congress, executive branches, or federal court decisions. Today, a tribe can gain federal recognition by all of those things, minus the treaty. Some non-recognized tribes have expressed that the administrative process for recognition can be costly and time-consuming. Since 1978, it has only resulted in 18 tribes being recognized across the nation. There are two federally recognized tribes in Florida currently, the Seminole Tribe and the Miccosukee Tribes. State recognition of a tribe may provide access to certain federal grant programs and permits tribe members to market their arts and crafts as genuine and may apply for certain scholarship programs. The bill provides also for state recognition of the four tribes with historic ties to the state currently: the Seminole Tribe of Florida, the Miccosukee Tribe, the Santa Rosa Band, and the Porch Band. The bill also establishes a process for state recognition of other Indian tribes or bands. They can petition the Secretary of State and utilize their process. I would like to clarify that the bill does not create a basis for authority for the tribe to engage or in prohibited gaming. It does not change education curriculum. It does not provide a financial obligation to the state. It does not provide sovereign immunity, and it does not expand gaming. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Saltzman. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Bartleman, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill, and thank you to everyone who emailed us and told us how important it is. So we appreciate that. The only question I have was something that was asked of me, is that you're creating this great process, which is needed, but two of the tribes mentioned in the bill, and we spoke about this, are not going to have to utilize the process because they're in the bill now. Can you explain why that decision-making took place? Thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The two federally recognized tribes that are currently federally recognized in the state of Florida are listed because this bill is separate from the recognition that they currently have in Florida. They are federally recognized, but they are not in statute recognized as a cultural community in the state.
Representative, you're recognized for a follow-up.
And the one that isn't federally recognized yet, that one is going through because you vetted it already through the process? Thank you.
Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that question. It's been a year-long process of vetting. Some of the things that are required of being recognized federally are that you can show your genetical lineage. You have to show the lineage. You have to be able to show that you have bylaws and you have historical significance and you are, in fact, a part of the community and have been a part of the community. The tribe that is being listed has letters of support from the county, the city, the county adjacent, the city adjacent, as well as other tribes throughout the nation.
Members, any additional questions on the bill? Any additional questions on the bill? Seeing none, we will turn to public testimony. We have quite a few folks in the audience who would like to testify on this bill. Up first, we have Cindy Helms with the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muscogee. You are recognized.
Madam Chairperson, Mado, thank you for the opportunity to address this committee. Cindy Helms, Jahajifkros, Isti Muskogogitaways. My name is Cindy Helms. I am a Muskogee person. I am the daughter of Edward Bush. His mother was Edna Marie Godwin. Her mother was Leela Parker. Her father was Joseph Parker, his mother was Sarah Dees Parker, and her parents were Mark Dease and Jane Pipkin, both Creek people. I am also a member of the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee and a lifelong resident of the state of Florida. I stand here today to voice my support of House Bill 553 and to ask all of you for your support as well. By passing this bill, you will be giving Native American bands and tribes in Florida access to resources we need to learn, teach, and preserve our language, heritage, and culture. The bill you have in front of you has very clearly and simply stated points. What you may not see as clearly are critical points for all Native American Floridians. So in addition to the written points of this bill, I ask you to vote yes on the bill for the following reasons. The Indian Removal Acts of the federal government and subsequently the Florida government in the 1800s relocated many of our people from here to territories west of the Mississippi River, whether by force, fear factor, coercion, or deceit. But not all went on that journey. Sadly, some were killed, some were enslaved and sent to other parts of the country or deported to other continents. Many hid in the woods and swamps and managed to survive. And many others hid in plain sight, assimilating with other cultures as their skin color allowed. And not all of our people who went from here stayed where they were sent. Many returned when they were able, with hopes of finding their family members still alive here. And so, here we are. By passing House Bill 553, you will show us that you recognize Bomongan Hiados. We are still here. For the thousands of Florida residents who are Native people that may not live under the umbrella of a federally recognized tribe or band, pass House Bill 553 to publicly show us that you value us in the state of Florida. We know who we are. We know who we come from. Show us publicly that you recognize who we are and that you recognize we live and die here. We raise our families here, work here in all capacities, from blue collar to executive, and we bolster this economy. We worship, socialize, participate in our community activities here, serve in the armed forces, and we exercise our right to vote. Pass House Bill 553 to show us we matter to the state of Florida. Mado, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you. Up next, we have James Grant, again with the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee. And following Mr. Grant, we will have Tracy Tolbert Gibbs. You're recognized.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak in support of this HB 553. My name is James Grant. Tribal name is Spotted Owl. I'm a member of the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee. My father was John Grant Hathcock. He was born in 1901. He was 7/8 Creek Indian. His father was John G. Hathcock. He was 100% Creek Indian. I am one of 8 children. I have 4 sisters, 3 brothers who are deceased. Coming up as children, we were often criticized, called very hateful names because of my father's dark skin. My oldest sister, who is 86 and living, was denied the opportunity to start school until she was 7 years of age because of my father's color. We can now tell the true story of who we are and openly practice and teach the ways of our father, although not in time for my father and my three deceased brothers. Passage of this bill will give my family recognition as to who we are, which we were denied for such a long time. Piwaito, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Up next, Tracy Tolbert Gibbs. Thank you. You're recognized.
Hi. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm here today to support HB 553. My name is Tracy Elizabeth Tolbert, daughter of Raymond Steve Tolbert, granddaughter of Bobby Bray Tolbert, great-granddaughter of Alonzo Pinson Bray, second great-granddaughter of Laura Susan Mathis, third great-granddaughter of Samantha Hudgens, and fourth great-granddaughter of Drusilla Butler Hudgens, a full-blood Creek woman. This Creek woman and her children walked the Trail of Tears, longing for a home that she was forced to leave behind. She gathered up her children and what belongings she could carry and then walked 1,000 miles back to the state of Florida, a home that she loved. My great-grandfather, Alonzo Pinson Bray, was a man deeply rooted in his Creek culture. In the face of fear and discrimination and possibly being sent on the Trail of Tears, he continued to teach the Creek culture and traditions to his family, not ever wanting the knowledge to possibly be lost forever. My grandmother, Bobby Bray Tolbert, did everything she could to honor her father's wish. She started passing the Creek culture on to her 5 children. My great-grandmother went on to have 9 grandchildren. And as I can remember, she taught us Creek culture and tradition our whole lives. It's been ingrained in me. We must never give up on our culture and keep it alive. My grandmother found her way to the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee. She provided her genealogy and became a member, and we all followed behind. She finally found a place that was of her Creek people, a home. In 2020, my grandmother, Bobby Bray Tolbert, passed away. She was 90 years old. She lived through the days of Indians keeping identities hidden to avoid discrimination. My family and I are proudly going to continue her legacy. The Creek people still exist in the state of Florida. Bemojin hiados. We are still here, and we will continue to teach our culture and our traditions to future generations. I stand here today, surrounded by the spirits of my ancestors, asking you to support HB 553. Mado, thank you for allowing me to speak today. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Up next, we have Mary Engstrom with the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee. And following Mrs. Engstrom, we will have Bill Bassett. You're recognized.
Madam Chairman, I am Mary Engstrom. I'm a Muskogee Creek Indian. I am here to speak to support the HB 553. My native name is Running Doe. My father is known as John Hathcock. His native name was Scott Nevin. In 1901, my grandfather, Carmen Hathcock, his wife, Susan Marlowe Hollinger, and their children are listed on the federal census. When my father left his tribe at the age of 12, he made his way to Alabama in the fear of being sent on the Trail of Tears. He used his grandfather's name, first name, and his brother's middle name to hide his Indian identity. During his life, he worked a menial job in a turpentine mill to keep from drawing attention to himself. Because of the Florida Indian Removal Act, my father told us eight children that we must never let anyone know that we were Indians. This was taught to us as we were born, never to speak of we being an Indian. And growing up, I was always looking over my shoulder. I was afraid I would let something slip and be sent on the Trail of Tears. I graduated in high school in 1964. That was the year of the Civil Rights Act and was passed. I was then free to tell others of my Indian heritage. But our family had done such a good job in hiding the fact that we were Indians for so long that no one would believe me when I told them. I asked you today that you vote to pass this bill that will give Florida Indian tribes a pathway to be recognized that has been withheld from us over 100 years. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Bill Bassett, Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee, and following Mr. Bassett, we will have Charity Zierton. You're recognized.
Madam Chair, honorable representatives, Stongo, in our native Muskogee language, that is to say, how are you? Mado, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the important work you're undertaking on behalf of many. I am Bill Bassett, Jr., a member of the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee, and I am in here of support of HB 553. I am the oldest of three brothers who grew up knowing we're Native Americans. We retained that heritage through my mother's side. I have always had a passion for history and culture. One fact I've learned, people want to have a legacy or to be remembered. We come here today seeking your help and acknowledging we exist, and we have existed here for hundreds of years. I have a true appreciation for this state. I've lived here for all but four of my 57 years. I graduated from FSU, and I served the people of this state for over 13 years as a government employee. It is my hope and my people's hope that this great state will do the right thing. Recognize the Native American tribes that have been a part of Florida for generations. It is time. It is time. The great pro baseball player Jackie Robinson said, "A life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives." You all have an opportunity to be impactful on the lives of many members of unrecognized Native American tribes in Florida. In 1853, Florida's Indian Removal Act passed right here. It was impactful. Many people were forcibly removed from their homes and separated from their families. They walked the Trail of Tears. Those who remained in their homeland were stripped of their tribal identities, their land, culture, language, religion, and traditions were all taken from them. They were stripped of who they were. Under the Iron Fist of Florida's Indian Removal Act, they were subjected to forced assimilation and lived in fear. They found ways to blend in, often hiding in plain sight, finding a way to survive. They practiced cultural survival on the run. You don't need to look very far to find evidence of Native Americans in Florida. Take a look at your great seal on the state flag right there. and you'll see depicted an elegant Native woman. Some say she is a representative of the Seminole. Others say she was inspired by Millie Francis, a Creek Muscogee woman. Millie spent time not far from here, and her life story resonated with Americans across the nation and people around the world. Look down the street at the paintings in your own house chamber. Osceola, who represents the unconquered people of the Seminole Nation of Florida, and my beloved FSU alma mater. We know him as Osceola. He was born in Muscogee Creek and became a great warrior and leader of the Seminole. So, here I am, one of many, asking for something that is long overdue. It is my hope each of you will do something impactful and historical. Do something impactful and historical for the unrecognized tribes in the state of Florida. Leave a lasting, memorable legacy for our state. Recognize us, recognize Native American tribes in Florida. Recognize the obvious. We are still here. Mado, thank you.
Charity Zierton. Mrs. Zierton, you are recognized. And then following Mrs. Zierton, we'll have Ted Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm here today in support of HB 553. As you heard, my name is Charity Zierton. I'm the oldest granddaughter, I'm going to try not to cry, of Edna Brown. Sorry. Today I speak here in honor of my grandma. She searched her entire life for answers because she was told not to ask questions. Her grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, LeBourne Brown, was born in 1814 as a Creek of the Lower Muscogee in Georgia. He was an advocate for Indian rights. His older brother, Charles Brown, was on the Creek Council and signed the 1827 letter from Little Prince to the Secretary of War regarding the fraudulent purchase of Creek lands in Georgia from McIntosh. After the forced removal of their people in 1842, LeBourne and Ellen restarted their lives near the Choctawhatchee River and the Panhandle of Florida. Their son, Alan Earl Brown, is the father of my great-grandfather, Lee Bradley Brown. At the time of his passing, he had over 120 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The Browns are huge in that area. If you know the Panhandle, you know there are a lot of Browns. The cemeteries of Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Walton counties are filled with my ancestors. They lost their homes and lands, and they were condemned to poverty. Some didn't receive education. They suffered the loss of their heritage, their culture, their language, their voice, and their identities were stolen. I'm so sorry. I didn't think I'd be the one crying.
Take your time.
Oh, I'm almost done. Today you have the opportunity to help families like mine receive closure by recognizing the rights of Florida's indigenous peoples to reclaim their heritage. We're asking you to finally right these injustices. Please vote yes on HB 553.
Thank you. Mr. Ted Chamberlain, followed by Helen Grant. Mr. Ted Chamberlain waves in support. Helen Grant. Helen Grant with the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muscogee waves in support. Wade Allen. Mr. Allen will be followed by Mr. Larry Barrow, or Dr. Barrow. Mr. Allen, you're recognized.
Good morning. Good morning, committee members. Madam Chairman, committee members, thank you for allowing me to address you in support of House Bill 553. It's an important bill for the Indian tribes in the state of Florida. My name is Wade Leslie Allen III. I live in Santa Rosa County. My family's lived there for over 200 years. My father was Wade Leslie Allen Jr., grandfather Wade Leslie Allen Sr., great-grandfather Wade Hampton Allen, Jesse Carter Allen was my great-great-grandfather, and John and Margaret Allen were my great-great-grandparents. Margaret was a full-blooded Creek Indian woman. Now, Jesse Carter, my great-great-grandfather, he was a unique individual. He was assistant sheriff in Stanbia Territory and was appointed the first sheriff of the newly formed Santa Rosa Territory around 1837. August 30th was an important date for him, and it's an important date for me, too. He married Huanna Taylor on August 30th, 1838. His parents, my 3G grandparents, were killed August 30th, 1813, in the massacre at Fort Mims, Alabama, the first major battle of the Indian Wars. August 30th is also my birthday, and I would not be here today if Jesse, who was 2 years old, and his brother had been at the fort the day of the massacre. The Alabama Historical Society puts on a reenactment on or around August 30th every year at Fort Mims. And the first time I visited those sacred grounds, and they're sacred to me, it was very emotional knowing I was walking the grounds where my ancestors and so many others spilled their blood and died and were buried there in a pit. Unfortunately, this is where I lose a trace of my heritage. But by passage of this bill, it will open the doors to the state archives, enabling me and others like me to research our history, enable us to preserve our culture, and educate the public about our proud Creek heritage. Passage of this bill, it won't cost the state a thing, but to us, it's priceless. A lot of people have put so much time and effort into this bill to get it to this point. But we need your help to get it over the finish line and to get the Indian tribes in the state of Florida the recognition they've been without for over 170 years. Pomekan Hayudos, that is our tribe motto, which means we are still here, and we have been for a long time, just very, very discreetly. Mado, thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, committee members. Mado.
Thank you. Up next, Dr. Larry Barrow, followed by Larry Holt. Dr. Barrow, you are recognized.
Mado, thank you, Madam Chair. I am Larry Rexton Barrow, the son of Lawrence Rexton Barrow, grandson of Lawrence Jefferson Barrow, great-grandson of Louisa Jane Houston Barrow, great-great-grandson of Louisa D. Bradley Houston, great-great-great-grandson of S.N. Bradley, a Creek Indian man who is federally recognized on the Poarch Creek Indian Rolls. I'm also son of Lawrence Rexton Barrow, grandson of Stella, quote, Dovey Nichols Barrow, great-grandson of Samuel Jackson Nichols, great-great-grandson of Mary Elizabeth Roden Nichols, great-great-great-grandson of James Roden, great-great-great-great-grandson of Shawnee Powell Roden, a Creek Indian woman who is buried in the Cruz Cemetery on the edge of the Okefenokee Swamp, just down I-10 here, in Baker County, just north of McClenny, Florida. Shawnee Powell Roden is the wife of the European Roden, better known as the Seminole chief, Yaha Hajo. Shawnee Powell Roden is the sister of William Powell, better known as Seminole chief, Osceola. I was born in Crenshaw County, Alabama, and my parents lived on my great-grandfather's farmstead, located along the Patchalaga Creek, where my family fished, hunted, and farmed like our native ancestors had done for hundreds of years. We are proud Americans. My father fought in the Battle of the Bulge and was recognized for his bravery and service in Washington, D.C. in 2010. Our ancestors, both European and Native American, have lived, loved, and migrated in the Southeast and Florida for hundreds of years. Florida's Indian Removal Act of 1853 drastically changed the world for my family. There was emptiness. Gone was our tribal identity. Gone was our language. Gone were our culture and traditions. What my family did have was fear, the fear of being caught speaking their language or practicing their traditions and cultures, and thus being sent to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears. So much has been lost, but much more will be lost without resources, which will become available with the passage of this bill. This is why I'm here in support of HB 553. I respectfully and humbly ask that you support this bill and the culture it will help save. Mado, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Up next, Mr. Larry Holt, the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee, followed by Linda Holt. Larry Holt waves in support. Linda Holt. Linda Holt, also with the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee, waves in support. Up next is Mr. Peter Zierton. Peter Zierton waves in support. Jeff Sharkey, Muskogee Nation of Florida. Mr. Sharkey, you're recognized.
Thank you. I'm moved and inspired and somewhat speechless by listening to these speakers here today. I'm a voluntary pro bono representative of helping the Muskogee Nation of Florida. Similar, they're all related back over there. So, and I've had a wonderful conversation with the bill sponsor here about potentially adding them to the list here. But again, thank you so much. This is a fabulous bill, and I've learned so much today. So thank you. I won't take up too much of your time.
Thank you. And last but definitely not least, Mr. Dan Helms, the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee. Chief Helms, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. His J Estongo. Chotlako Soto Jaha Jeffagados. I said hello, how are you? I am Dan Helms, Chief of the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee. And I'm here today in support of Bill HB 553. I am the son of Joyce Helms, the grandson of Nora Cook Hopkins, the great-grandson of John Wesley Cook, and the great-great-grandson of Susan Abigail Ard Cook, a full-blood Creek woman. This non-discriminatory bill provides equally for all the unrecognized Indian tribes and bands in Florida. It provides a pathway for state recognition. With recognition will come the ability for even the smallest of tribes to have the same unfettered access to federal and private foundations, cultural programs, and grants, which are only made available to government-recognized tribes. State recognition will help tribes to gain access to the data in the archives of the educational institutions and governmental agencies, of which we have been denied because of a citing of lack of standing. The Native American culture is in a race against time, and time is not on our side. A Pensacola News Journal article in 1990 identified 15 Indian tribes in the Florida Panhandle. Today, only six of those tribes are still in existence. This bill will provide the access to the resources needed to help more tribes from going extinct. This is a very narrowly focused bill. It is focused on culture and the cultural survival of Indian tribes in Florida. As it has been clearly stated, it has nothing to do with gambling. It has nothing to do with claiming of lands or burial mounds or tribal ancestral lands. Nothing to do with that. This is just about the cultural survival of Indian tribes and bands in Florida. Laws such as Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act of 1830, followed by Florida's Indian Removal Act of 1853, made Indians in Florida suppress their tribal identities, language, heritage, and culture in order that they and their families would not be harmed or removed from their homeland. Consequently, the Indian people were left without any rights or provisions by these acts. They had to take their culture underground, keep it hidden from the authorities so they would not be sent on the Trail of Tears for violating the law. The law went unchallenged for 111 years until it was superseded by the Federal Civil Rights Acts of 1964. Don't do the math on me, but up until the time I was 11 years old, and as a Creek Indian living in Florida, I was still subject to the Florida Indian Removal Act. Living in the shadow of this act, my parents and grandparents sought to protect me, they thought, by withholding all the knowledge of their language and the heritage and the culture. The act culturally robbed me. You may ask, well, why haven't you sought state recognition before? The answer is because there was no pathway. No pathway to recognition. And we were told by the people in authority that it just couldn't be done. Even though some tribes now have different names, the four foundational tribes of this bill are all of Creek descent. The bill would serve to codify that relationship and would help build unity of the Native Americans in the state of Florida. Invisibility is the modern form of racism against Native Americans. Our people were recognized in Florida by Florida's Indian Removal Act, but it was for the purpose of discrimination and suppression of our tribal identities and our culture and our language. We're asking you to bring an end to 170 years of discrimination. Give the culture of Florida's Native Americans the chance to survive in the sunshine of freedom. Mado.
Thank you, Chief. And thank you to everyone who came before us today to share your personal story and your legacy with us. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Ranking Member Daly, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll be brief. I just want to thank the bill sponsor for bringing this forward. I think it's an excellent idea to recognize and respect the history and legacy of Florida's tribes and to add them and others to your bill and creating that pathway. This has been an illuminating experience, and I want to thank all your speakers who came up and supported the bill as well. Thank you for working on this issue.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Rep. Sussman, for bringing this issue forward. I really commend you on doing what's right by the Indian tribe. I just can't believe that we are doing this now. This is overdue, long overdue, and today we will be doing what's right by the people, by the Indian tribe of, you know, all of you. And I'm really grateful and thankful for you sharing your stories with us. And believe me, I feel you, I hear you, and I understand it. Thank you so much, Rep. Solomon. Great work, and I appreciate you, and I will be with you today. Thank you.
Representative Bartleman, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I just have to say this was so moving this morning, and
you gave these people their voice back. So this is historic. So thank you very much for everything you did. And it's American. That's right.
Members, any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Saltzman, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll waive close.
Representative Saltzman, having waived close, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Ferreira?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb excused. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Plakin excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck excused. Woodson?
Yes.
Garkowski?
Yes.
Chairperson Smolicka?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, HB 553 is reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we will take up House Bill 653 by Representative Kennedy relating to municipal annexation and contraction. Representative Kennedy, welcome, and you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee, for hearing my bill today. I'm presenting a bill that will simply allow municipal contraction to mirror the same language in state law that we have for annexation. This bill came to me in an interesting way. Currently, there is simply no process for de-annexation. This is perhaps the only bill that I know of that has the support of the Florida League of Cities, the Association of Florida Community Developers, and the Florida Home Builders. This provides predictability in what is sometimes a chaotic process. Members, this is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Kennedy, I believe there is an amendment to the bill. You're recognized to explain Amendment Barcode 248375.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment simply corrects a drafting error by putting back into the bill some language that was inadvertently struck.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we do have one public comment card on the amendment. David Cruz, Florida League of Cities, waves in support of the amendment. Members, we are now in debate on the amendment. Is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, Representative Kennedy, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, members without objection show the amendment is adopted. Now we are back on the bill as amended. Is there public comment on the bill as amended? David Cruz, Florida League of Cities, waves in support of the bill as amended. Members, we are now in debate on the bill. Whoops, I apologize. I have some more on the bill as amended. Okay, I'll slow down. Carrie Hebrank, Florida Home Builders. Carrie Hebrank waves in support. Lance Pierce, Association of Florida Community Developers, waves in support. Ashton Mears, Florida Home Builders Association. Ashton Mears waves in support. And that concludes our public comment. Now, members, we are in debate on the bill. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Kennedy, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Waive close.
Having waived close, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Ferreira?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb excused. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Plakin excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck excused. Woodson?
Yes.
Garkowski?
Yes.
Chairperson Smolicka?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, HB 653 is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Up next, we are going to turn to some bills from our committee members. Representative Barrero, you are up first. We will take up, hold with me for one moment. Well, he is not.
There he is. You can go.
We will take up HJR 159 by Representative Barrero relating to homestead tax exemption for certain senior low-income long-term residents. Representative Barrero, you are recognized to explain the joint resolution.
Thank you, Chairpersons Mullica, Ranking Member Daly, members of the committee. House Joint Resolution 159 says tax exemption for low-income seniors. What this House Joint Resolution does is it raises the threshold, the just value threshold, for which low-income seniors can qualify for a full property tax exemption, raises it from what it's currently now, $250,000. So if your property is worth under $250,000, you can qualify for a full property tax exemption. This will raise it to $300,000. Last time this was updated was in 2012, so it's been 10 years of inflation that property values have gone up. Very few low-income seniors are currently eligible to qualify. You still have to live in the home for 25 years. You still have to be low-income, which currently, according after adjusting for the CPI price index, it's about $35,000 annual income a year that you'd have to qualify for, and you have to be over 65 years old. So that is the House Joint Resolution. Yeah. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we will turn to public comment. We do have public comment on the joint resolution. Amanda Prater, Opportunity Solutions Project, waves in support. Jess McCarty, Miami-Dade County, waves in support. Is there any further public testimony on the House Joint Resolution? Seeing none, members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the Joint Resolution? Representative Campbell, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I saw this bill in my Ways and Means Committee, and I thought this was an exceptional bill. And so thank you, Representative Barrera, for bringing this forth and bringing this to our attention and the good work that you're doing on this bill. So I ask members on this committee to vote up favorably.
Members, is there any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Barrero, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Waive close on this.
Having waived close, Tamara, please call the roll on the House Joint Resolution.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb excused. Griffiths?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Clayton excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck excused. Woodson? Yarkowski?
Yes.
Chairpersons Malika?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, HJR 159 is reported favorably. Congratulations. And next, we will take up CS for HB 161 by Representative Barrero relating to homestead exemptions for persons age 65 and older. Representative Barrero, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 161 is the implementing bill should the House Joint Resolution, which you just voted upon, pass and be successfully adopted by the voters.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions? Seeing none, is there public comment on the bill?
No, ma'am.
Is there any additional public comment on the bill? Seeing none, members, we are now in debate on the bill. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Barrero, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Waive close.
Having waived close, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb excused. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Clayton excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck excused. Woodson?
Yes.
Yarkowski?
Yes.
Chairpersons Malika?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, CS for HB 161 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members.
Now we will take up HB 773 by Representative Holcomb relating to Hernando County School District, Hernando County. Representative, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Ranking Member, committee members. I'm here for House Bill 773. It's a local bill, and it does have an amendment, Madam Chair. The bill is for Hernando County School District, and we need new leadership in Hernando County. But the bill repeals a 1992 resolution that the school board passed, making the position of superintendent an appointed position. If this bill does pass, it would be put on the 2024 ballot as a referendum for the citizens to choose how they want their school board superintendent to be chosen. And Madam Chair, that's the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Holcomb, we will turn to the amendment. You're recognized to explain amendment barcode 496843.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Through multiple iterations, we had a confusion on the date of the actual election if the referendum were to pass. So that date would be 2028. That matches up with other superintendent elections and constitutional officers. So 2028 would be the actual election date of the superintendent.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we are on public comment on the amendment. There is no public comment on the amendment. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Holcomb, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive closed, Madam Chair.
Waive closed. Members without objection show the amendment is adopted. Now we are back on the bill as amended. Is there any public testimony on the bill as amended? There is no public testimony on the bill as amended. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Holcomb, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Waive closed, Madam Chair.
Having waived closed, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrera?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb, excuse. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Clayton, excuse. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck, excuse. Woodson?
Yes.
Durkowski?
Yes.
Chairperson Malika?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, show House Bill 773 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Happy Friday.
Up next, we're going to take up House Bill 567 by Representative Steele relating to Lake Paget Estates Independent Special District, Pasco County. Representative Yarkoski will be presenting on behalf of Representative Steele. Representative Yarkoski, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing this bill. As many of you know, I live in Lake County, but today I'm wearing the Pasco County hat, so I'm happy to do this for a great community in Pasco County. This is a local delegation bill that was approved, and it was also the Lake Paget Independent Special District requested this as well. When they set this special district up in 2006, they have five board members. They have two-year terms for each board member, but they are reelected simultaneously, having a lot of issues getting folks qualified and committed, and so they wanted to change it to, this bill will change it to four-year terms, and we will stagger them two and three, so every other year you'll elect two or three, and they'll be for four-year terms, so we have more time to qualify candidates and make sure the board does not operate without representation, and Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions? Seeing none, is there public comment on the bill? Seeing no public comment. Members, we are now in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Yarkoski, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I will waive closed, Madam Chair.
Very smart. Having waived closed, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrera?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb, excused. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Clayton, excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck, excused. Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chairperson Smolicka?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, HB 567 is reported favorably. Please share my congratulations with Representative Steele.
Thank you all. Have a great Friday.
The last bill we have on the agenda, again, certainly not the least, HB 101, we will take up now by Representative Woodson, relating to homestead exemption for first responders. Representative Woodson, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Daily and members, thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me the opportunity to present this much-needed bill that seemed to provide a tax exemption to our spouses of first responders who died in the line of duty. Currently, Florida has a law as to where local and state officials, law enforcement officers, receive this exemption. However, it's not granted to the federal officer. So this bill seeks to provide the same exemption to the federal law enforcement officers who died in the line of duty who live in the state of Florida as of January 1st. That's the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing none, is there public comment on the bill? No public comment on the bill. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Woodson, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think I'll waive just saying thank you for the property I present in Broward County, Marty Keir, who has worked with me on the bill. Thank you so much.
Representative Woodson, having closed, Tamara, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Anderson? Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Ex officio Campbell?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gottlieb, excused. Griffith?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Clayton, excused. Temple?
Yes.
Tuck, excused. Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chairperson Smolicka?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, HB 101 is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, members, that concludes our agenda. Again, thank you for helping me run a timely meeting and permit the public to have their moment for public comment. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Representative Woodson moves we rise. Without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.